Welcome to the pod. This is our first one we're recording virtually, technically.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, we're actually not together this time, and every other one we've recorded, we've been together.
So. Yeah, praying this comes out good. I think it's going to be fine, though. We're figuring it out, so bear with us if it's a little off or whatever. But, yeah, we're recording
separate today. And then, side note, if I sound a little stuffy, I am slightly congested while we're
doesn't have COVID
from,
though,
like a sinus infection. Yeah, I got tested a couple days ago, negatives. So
yeah,
I'm excited for this week's topic because I feel like it'll help a lot of people realize how easy it can be to go full time if that's something that you want, and like how to make it happen.
Yeah, it's definitely a way that could also, like, if you do want to go for it full time and you're not at, you know, the number you think you should be at, or if you want to grow like a little bit more and make more money on your collaborations, this is a really good way to, you know, get those extra streams of income in and make things a little less stressful. Because there's definitely a lot of ways.
There's a lot, but before we dive into that, we always like to share what is influencing us this week. So what's been influencing you currently?
Okay. Mine has been getting back into like a consistent workout schedule, just because obviously with COVID, like absolutely fell off. I was so active.
I fell off
COVID.
So hard.
Yeah, I was so active before COVID, literally did Orange Theory like freaking every single day. It was crazy. But now I'm back on ClassPass. Shout out ClassPass. I'm obsessed with ClassPass. I love doing like spin classes and like Pilates, things like that. Getting back into that schedule. I feel like things are kind of getting back to normal now. So I'm happy.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Honestly, LA is a little wild out there. But yeah, kind of just getting back into the routine, and especially with like Hawaii coming up. We have some, like, we definitely have some travel goals and plans for the rest of this year. So, yeah. What about you,
girl?
Love
that. I feel like for me, I'm trying to, like, go through my purchase history and my receipts through my email. And I'm noticing this trend that I have been purchasing a lot of things that are green.
Green.
And I don't know if I've really
honestly
mentioned that.
Honestly, it's kind of big for you.
Lately.
She's all about the neutrals.
I just, yeah, like, I don't know why, but, like, green is just speaking to me right now. And you know those green Zara shoes you bought?
Ugh, I love them. I keep forgetting
so
I need to get a
smaller
size.
I bought a pair of those. And then that, like, green, iconic, like, silky, like, silk Zara skirt that everyone had kind of summer, during summer.
Oh, no.
I feel like if I showed you a picture, you would know.
Probably.
It's, like, stunning. I found one on Poshmark, and it's the same color as the shoes.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
So, and that skirt, I was going to tell you, it comes in pink and it's so freaking cute.
Pink and green, like, is such a combo right now,
those
by the way.
The green shoes with the pink skirt, I'm so obsessed. And then I got this other dress in from this small boutique called Vintage October. That's like a halter with like an open back, and
cute.
It's green too. And this just like crop top that's green. I don't know. So I've just been noticing this theme and like,
color
for
you.
I just feel like, you know, with Hawaii coming up and all that, I think green is going to be really fun to style.
Yeah.
So.
Agree.
The color green has been speaking to me lately, so I feel like that's what's influencing me.
Oh my gosh, you're Cosmo now, and I'm Wanda with the green and pink.
Oh my gosh.
We should totally do matching outfits. Yeah, I'm down.
And that's the caption.
Oh my gosh, okay. I need to buy that skirt because that sounds amazing.
I'll send you a link. I'll find it.
Do it.
Because I went on a hunt because I saw a few girls style it on Instagram. And the way that the bottom of the skirt is shaped, you can like wear it like facing forward, or you can turn it to the side and wear it that way too. And it like looks different, but so cute. So
yeah,
I'm
that sounds super
so
cute.
So obsessed, and I cannot wait.
Be on the lookout next week when we're in Hawaii.
Yes, be ready. I feel like also I have so many outfits for Hawaii because the Dominican didn't happen.
Oh,
so I've
right.
like saved all that, all those outfits, and like have moved them into like my Hawaii suitcase. And then I've also been accumulating stuff
yes.
since then that I'm like, oh my gosh,
same.
I want to shoot that in Hawaii because like Hannah Schoenberg did another collaboration with Naked.
Oh my God, that brand. Yes. I love.
And I bought two outfits off of there.
I almost bought the skirt. Was one of them the skirt?
Is it like a tie?
Yeah.
Like a meshy tie skirt?
I think. There was, yeah.
I got like a mesh tie shirt. Okay. And then like the mesh top. And then the like full dress with the open back.
Oh my God. Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that one's super cute.
So I'm just going for like
having some looks in Hawaii.
Yeah, so many looks to plan out. So I feel like I need to start planning that now. But anyway,
I love it.
Okay, so jumping in, we're really excited for today's episode because, first of all, I think it's so important to have multiple streams of income, especially if you're an entrepreneur, a freelancer, where your income per se isn't super stable, or, you know, you don't get a steady paycheck every 2 weeks, so you don't know really what to expect. I mean, I feel like you can estimate, but you don't know what to expect because, like, with our job, like, brands could pay you late and you're not expecting that. So it's like you have to have something in the meantime while you're waiting for that. So I feel like having multiple streams of income is so important. And then also it's just like not putting all your eggs in Instagram's basket just in case, like say you lose your account for a week or whatever, you have other things.
We just had a friend that happened too. But that's
also, and I don't think she's gotten it back yet either.
I don't know if she's going to, which is literally, oh my God, I can't even imagine. Scary. But that's also why we've also said this in a previous episode. It's very important to have like some sort of savings before you go into this full time, just because like the months can be so unpredictable. So obviously with the savings and like this stuff, like it makes it a lot less stressful.
Well, and I feel like it's just kind of fun too to have like a bunch of different things that you like to do that are generating income for you.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because if you are in the space, you're probably a creative. And so having different things is exciting and fun. So yeah. I guess we'll just dive in and kind of start with the first one, which is probably the most obvious one. So the way that, you know, you can make money on social media, you know, Instagram is sponsored content. And I feel like that's the main income for both of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say. So that's just essentially when a brand pays you to post on your social media, and that's just based off your following, your engagement, your demographics, all your analytics and all that. It's pretty straightforward, but I feel like that's really the place where you have a lot of negotiating power.
Yeah, and I think out of all of these, this is, you know, where the big money comes in with sponsored content. You can really charge a lot. We've said this in a previous episode before, but you really get paid a lot because before influencer marketing was a thing, these companies would spend literally like hundreds of thousands of dollars like on marketing,
so much money,
with ads, with billboards. And those price points are very high. I used to work in a marketing ad tech company, and like minimum was $10,000 a month for one ad. So there's a lot of money in that. In influencer marketing, you're literally reaching your exact, well, you can reach your exact target demo. And that's why insights and analytics are so important to send to brands, because that's how they, you know, decide how much they want to pay you based on if you are their exact target demographic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's so interesting when you put it into that perspective, because we're literally giving them essentially their dream audience.
Yeah, and with other tactics like billboards, because I used to do like ads through billboards for these companies, you literally don't know who you're reaching. It's whoever drives by, like, and that's all you know. You don't know like the ROI.
And I feel like that's like 50% male, 50% female. Because
exactly.
You can't really.
You can base it off location, but that's still a guess. But like, still, you really don't know. So with influencer marketing, like, think about it. Like, you are giving these brands essentially like a very high ROI, and you have the direct swipe up like in your stories. So when you look at
you're,
it, like
you're
that,
leading them literally directly to it, whereas like a billboard, there's no swipe up, there's no discount code. Like, it's literally a billboard, I feel like, is just impressions.
Yeah, same with commercials. Like, you don't even know if your audience is muting your commercial. So, like, you could have that impression, but they might not even be in the same room. Like, it's all factored in. Like, influencer marketing is insane with ROI, and that is why these companies pay so much money. So That is a huge one.
And yeah, and I feel like that's why you have such negotiating power when you are, because you have the ability to explain it to a brand like, hey, you know, I'm doing all these things. I'm effectively an entire agency creating all this content for you. And, you know, then they get the benefits of it without having to spend that $10,000+.
Exactly. Exactly. So bottom line, don't accept a lowball offer from brands. What we're doing is very valuable and the ROI can be so, so high. So yeah, I always like to make sure, you know, like if a brand isn't really understanding my rates, like if you're saying I am going to be posting like a Reels or a static image on my feed and then pushing my audience to my stories to swipe up and buy it or have the link also in your bio, that's very valuable. And you kind of just like have to break it down if the brand isn't really understanding like why your rates are so high.
Well, even the impressions too, like your impressions are going to be, you know, mostly a female audience, whereas like, you know, the impressions on a billboard, you have no idea.
Yeah, so exactly.
Still, they're still getting so much more through you than they would, you know, with that billboard. So yeah. Anyways, sponsored content, that's the number one way we make our money, but there are so many other ways. So the second one is content creation. Do you do content? I know you're.
No, I actually just got. Actually just got like one that I'm really excited about.
Yay!
It's actually. I don't know if I should say. I'll just tell you later. But got my. I don't really get that many content creation collaborations. Alyssa actually gets a lot. I think it's based on what kind of look they're going for. I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like you have that like tan, like model-esque, like
I know, boutique trying to grow my hair out so I can like have longer, luscious, like wavy curls, you know?
Yeah.
That vibe.
Yeah. So content creation collabs, like, I don't know. I feel like mainly they come to you, but you can obviously also always pitch content creation to brands also as
and we have it on our rate sheet. I think we just have it as like content creation available upon request, because I feel like the pricing on that is so different based off the project that the brand is wanting. But content creation basically is when the brands will pay you to create content specifically for them and you don't have to post on your social channels at all. So that could be something like videos, ads, photos for their websites. And this is where you're going to be charging that usage rate, because say, you know, you're creating content for their website, they're using that to drive sales. Or if they're using that on their newsletter or their email marketing, they're using your content to drive sales. Like I recently just did a video for Fabletics. I didn't have to post on my channels or anything. And it was just to talk about and promote their new pickup in store feature. So I just created a really cute video from home of me, you know, using the online process and then going into the store and picking up my order. And it was a really fun project. And I love Fabletics as a brand and I love working with them. So it was really cool that they reached out to me to do that.
Yeah, I feel like it's so definitely kind of less pressure also, because you're not posting this on your feed. Right, because you don't have
to like perform. There's no like performance aspect to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like they will tell you what kind of images they want. Usually they'll send you like some examples from your own Instagram and you kind of just have to create the same type of vibe for them, but you're not posting it to your audience. So it is going to be a lot less than your sponsored content rates. It's mainly just you're taking into account the time that it takes you to shoot the content with your rates. So, I think it can be anywhere from like what, $50 to $100 an hour.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's like charging essentially like a modeling fee. Cause I feel like the standard is at least $100 an hour. So like there's that. Plus like the editing and, you know, your hair, your makeup, if you have to travel somewhere, that's time as well. Mm-hmm. So things like that. And then, you know, hopefully being able to charge a monthly rate that they're using that content for. You know, some brands will do that. Sometimes they won't. But you just kind of have to like negotiate and figure out the sweet spot for both of you. But yeah, I feel like it's nice because, you know, some brands will do like monthly content creation.
Yeah. Which and you're cool. saving brands money. Like, so they don't have money. To hire a model, a photographer, a studio.
Like,
you're
rent out a studio.
Just shooting it yourself.
Yeah, makeup artist, hairstylist. Like, yeah. Like, you're, like, a, like, what's it called? I'm, like, trying to think of the word, but I can't. Like, you're, like, a all a package.
Yeah, you're, like an all-inclusive package.
Yes, yes. You're, like,
so you're doing all the work, obviously. So, obviously, keep that in mind because it might sound crazy when a brand's, like, we want to spend, like, we want you to shoot these three looks. Like, we'll pay you $500 or if they try to lowball you. But it should be, just take into account, like, the time, okay? Like, how much time is it going to take you to shoot? Because if they're asking for, like, six looks, like, three photos per look, like, that's a lot of time and effort on your part. So make sure you're getting paid for that. I would say, like, for one look, maybe three shots. I feel like one look would be, what, 30 minutes to an hour?
It depends. Like, I remember I had to do content creation for a brand and they wanted me to, like, reshoot, but I had followed the exact brief that they had sent me and gave them images exactly that they asked for, and for some reason they didn't like it, and I was like, I did exactly what you told me to do, so they wanted me to reshoot, which is fine. I just add that time on.
Right, so you charge them for the reshoot.
Yeah,
keep that in mind.
Yeah, so I think, like, content creation is another thing. Like, if you feel like you're creative and you have an eye for it, because some people I feel like are really, really good at it, and they might not have, like, the biggest following on Instagram, but their content is, like, on point, and they're really strong with it, or they're a photographer, and they're really good with that, too. So content creation can definitely be another way to make money.
Yeah, it's a great way to make money, honestly. And I feel like the more you do it, the more maybe other brands will notice it, or you can put it in your bio. And I feel like brands will come across that and notice that you have, like, content creator or content creation. I think you have content creator. So having something like that in your bio, first of all, they could look you up through SEO. Like, if they type in San Diego content creator and your profile pops up, that's one way they could find you and reach out to you. Or you can just reach out and make sure they know that you also offer content creation.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of, like, smaller boutiques are pretty open to it. So
yeah,
you can always pitch it that way. Like, maybe just ask them if they're interested in any content creation, or if they ever need it, you'd love to work with them or be available for that. And I think that's a good way to kind of put yourself out there.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
You know, just living out all of our, like, modeling girl dreams. Like,
I know,
we were little,
right?
Like, and you want to be a model. Watching,
we took,
like,
modeling
America's
classes.
Tech's top model.
Alyssa and I,
yes,
separately,
I took a scam.
As kids,
took a scam modeling course.
I hope those aren't still around.
I literally saved up all my allowance to pay
so
for
sad.
It, and, like, my parents literally went with me to some of these meetings to, like, meet the people. But there were definitely red flags. But at the time, obviously, like, didn't know, and I was like, I want to be a model, so I'm gonna make this happen.
Yeah. You're like, I'm going to go for my
LOL.
Dreams. Yeah, I went to, like, a runway walking class, and it's like, LOL, obviously we're, like, 5'2". Like, we're not going to be runway models, but it's fine. We're living out our modeling dreams through content creation.
Exactly. So, and then I feel like just on the side of content creation, there is modeling as an option too, where agencies or brands will reach out to you and be like, hey, like, we're doing a photo shoot on these dates, would you be available to model? And I think a lot of people get this part confused. If you are modeling, you're not charging usage rights, because the brand is using their photographer to take the photos, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that
actually
is a really
good
point.
So you just show up and you model. So if all you're doing is showing up and taking pictures and you're not posting and you're not taking the photos, then you just are doing modeling. And I would say the typical standard rate for something like that is minimum, like, $100 an hour. That's pretty, like, standard in the industry. And then if you feel like you're really good or you have extra experience, like, feel free to charge more. Sometimes brands won't have that budget and they'll want to charge a little less, but might gift you extra clothing, whatever.
Yeah.
Just kind of feel it out and make sure it's worth your time. But definitely $100 an hour, I would say, is, like, pretty standard.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't done that yet, like that, you know, modeling job. I think you've done quite a few. I feel like people in New York, I've seen do it recently.
Yeah,
they're I feel like hiring, it's really picking up from there. Models. Like for their brands. Kind of
seems like intense. That would be really intimidating.
I know. I'd be really nervous. But it looks really, really cool. I'm sure LA does a lot of that. But I don't know. I feel like influencers get modeling jobs in New York more so than in LA.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I've definitely seen those things popping up too, which is really cool. But
yeah.
Definitely a lot more pressure, I feel like, because you're working with a photographer you don't really know. Like, it's different than like shooting with your friends, being able to look at your camera and go through your photos and be like, okay, like take a couple more. Like, they want you to just be like on.
Yeah, and like you don't even get a say of what, you know, photos they use. So yeah, I mean, definitely out of like your comfort zone, but it would be a really cool opportunity. That's something.
Yeah, there's like this one agency in San Diego that I work with a lot. It's called Cool Girl Connection. And you guys, if you're in San Diego, you can follow their page because they're always posting about different opportunities.
Yeah.
And all of her opportunities, I'm pretty sure, are paid. So that's really cool. And I've gotten some really good like paid gigs through her. So she's amazing. It's a really cool agency to work with. So that's always something to check out. And less
intimidating, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure. Like, she's really fun, and I love the photographer too. So just a really good time, plus you get to get paid, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. So, and then I think it just helps like build connections. You're like building connections with the brand, you're building connections with the photographer, the agency. So it's like, if the agency gets more work, you know, and they need someone, they'll think of you and all of that. So I think that's just another really cool way to make, you know, a couple hundred dollars here and there, and everything really adds up. So
100%.
So yeah, wow, I feel like it's already been a long time and we still have so much to tell you guys. Okay, we thought this was gonna be a short episode, and
I know we're like
every episode's gonna be a short episode, and then we just get chatting. Okay, so next one is affiliate marketing, and I feel like for some people this is like huge.
Yeah, some people make, and by affiliate marketing, that really falls into the Like to Know It girls, or the, you know, Like to Know It platform.
Or anything like similar to that. I'm like blanking on the other ones. Like,
there's one called like,
is there like ShopStyle or something?
Yeah, oh yeah, ShopStyle. But I think the main one is Like to Know It Reward Style.
Right. And those they just rebranded ones. Into just Like to Know It. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That one's a good one. Yeah, we've heard of people making like 10K a month through this. You know,
that's like you have a really good audience.
It takes a certain audience for sure, but you can really honestly train your audience to become really, I don't know, you can really train your audience to always shop your links on Like to Know It, follow you on Like to Know It, and see like your posts and kind of just trust your opinion. Obviously, you need to have a very like trustworthy recommendations with what you're putting on Like to Know It. I think that's really how you can train your audience, quote unquote. But obviously, you know, posting consistently with your links, always linking things through Like to Know It, and I don't know, just being really honest and not being too addy, if that makes sense.
Or like pushy.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like really linking what you genuinely love.
Yeah, I feel like we both have kind of started getting into it a little more.
I've been trying. It's definitely an extra step. So I also have to train myself to do it, because it's so much easier just to go straight to your link, like not the affiliate link. And this
commission is like very small commission. Yeah. Like it's like cents to like maybe a few dollars per item, depending on the retailer. But if you are converting and you have like a high conversion rate, or your audience does really likes the product, then that like adds up, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely adds up. And obviously, if you're linking like higher ticketed items, like some people link their couches, I've seen. And
yes,
obviously you can link, that's like,
I think a few Gucci's K. on there too. Like, you can link from Gucci, or there are sites like Shopbop or stuff like that, that sometimes they carry designer and you can like link through there.
Yeah, so always linking your higher ticketed items, I feel like, is a great way to make money through that.
Yeah.
And it's also
really another opportunity.
Yeah. They also have a new collaboration platform through Like to Know It too, which is another great way to make money. and it's pretty seamless. I just finished a collab with Reward Style, like to know.
Yeah.
It, just they're I guess I, yeah now. It's the same thing now, so like to know it, but they do have a collaboration portal on there now, so if you're not already on like to know it, I would make an account just so you have access to that. But also I think the collaboration that I got, they gave you access to it, so I don't think you necessarily need to have an account, but we definitely recommend it.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I say this, but I have no idea. I feel like it helps you if you have an account. Mm-hmm. They'll give you them. But I personally haven't really gotten a collaboration mm-hmm. on Reward Style yet. And I don't know why, because I don't know what they're like looking for specifically.
Yeah, I don't know. Because so I never really, really weird. Used to use it, but it pushed me
and
to
I feel
start
like
using
I've gotten, yeah, I feel like I've kind of gotten two requests, but they didn't turn into anything at all. And they weren't like huge brands or anything. So not sure. So, but I mean, it's definitely another potential opportunity, you know, to make money. 100%. So definitely commissions and linking things. I feel like the one thing for me is I don't really shop at a lot of linkable places because I like to shop like small boutiques or small businesses or whatever. So that's kind of hard. But
yeah, not everything
when I do
is
shop,
there.
Yeah, when I do shop, like, I guess like just the standard places, then that's when I'll try to link things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it costs money. I think it's like a monthly fee for these brands to be on like to know it and on these other platforms. So not all boutiques or places are on these platforms, but I think like Zara, like
no, Zara's
everything from Target, Sephora, Ulta, you know, furniture, all of that is on there.
Yeah. A lot of it is, but you know, a lot of like small businesses can't afford that, so they're not, which I don't blame them. So,
and I guess like on that note as well, just, you know, signing up for platforms for collaborations is a great way to start getting collaborations, because, you know, I feel like it takes a while kind of to be getting these consistent flows of emails from brands, you know, offering to pay you. So I feel like starting out with signing up for platforms like Aspire IQ is really great. Four, I think, has really good ones. What other ones? Honestly, I think those are like the two main ones, I would say. I think there's one called Obviously. I've never had a paid collaboration through them, but that's another one. I'm trying to think. If we think of other ones, we can just put it on our story on the Instagram. But signing up for platforms is great because you're literally directly connected to the brands on the platform. And don't be discouraged, by the way, if you don't get immediately like a ton of collaborations, because I would say they're not that common to get. Like, I don't get them all the time. I don't know if maybe they're, you know, focusing on smaller creators maybe on those platforms, but I don't get a ton on the platforms, but it's a great place to start and obviously like a great place to make extra income.
Yeah, I think it's so nice too when like you get one through a platform because you didn't really have to do that much work for it.
Exactly, yeah.
And you're
it's,
like, yes.
It's secure.
Like,
it feels very secure too.
And then you know like it has to be legit because the platform is like, you know, has a relationship with the brand. So it's like, I feel like you have like a confidence that you're gonna get paid.
Oh, totally. And it's very usually a seamless process. Like you submit your links, submit your content, and then you immediately get paid usually, which is so ideal. I love Aspire IQ. I truly wish that I got more collaborations through the platform because they have such a quick and easy process. I absolutely love working with them, but I think so many people are on the platform that they have just so many people to choose from. So,
and those that like Aspire's the one where you can apply, whereas like some platforms you can't.
Mm-hmm. How's Four? Do you apply or not really?
No. So Four is the one where they send you a campaign.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So it's like all the platforms are different, but it's good to be on them because if you do get one, that could be like good chunk of change right there, you know, that you weren't pitching or you weren't really expecting, which is really nice.
Yeah. And you kind of know that these brands do have a budget because they have to have a pretty hefty budget to be on the platform in the first place. Like, I'm pretty sure it's like a 5K to 10K a monthly charge to be on the platform. So they usually are willing to pay like a good rate.
Yeah, definitely. So I like being on platforms. I know you're like hesitant.
I'm like coming first, more but we're around getting to there. It because you do have to connect your Instagram, and I just get so nervous connecting Instagram to anything. But I have been good in the past few months.
I feel like if you're connecting through like on your desktop, like on the computer, and it's going through Facebook, then it's like pretty legit. But it's like when you're connecting to like apps on your phone, that's where I think you're it gets a little iffy. But I'm pretty sure like Facebook has to approve the website that you're linking to. Mm-hmm. So it's like obviously you wouldn't be able to do it if Instagram didn't approve it.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I've been a lot, you know, more at ease with that. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So the next one is kind of, I feel like, a controversial one because I feel like some people don't really do this anymore, but some people are still big on it. I feel like it's
coming back, honestly. I see this era coming back. And I feel like it is coming back
too. And it's a blog. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've been seeing more brands asking for blog posts.
Yeah, I've noticed that in the past few weeks too. Blog posts, like having your own website for your brand, for your Instagram, or for your personal name. Like it can be your name or your Instagram name. I feel like, honestly, I'm going to start doing my blog again. I feel like it's fun. Like, it's more of a creative outlet. Oh, yeah.
I love doing my blog.
Yeah. And I feel like I understand why brands would want a blog post because it's kind of just this entire thing written by you on your blog.
And it's, like, permanent.
Yeah, it's permanent. You put your links in there and you're good, you know? Like, I don't know. You can tell a story through it, you know?
Yeah, it like doesn't expire like stories do, or like I feel like I don't really archive posts. Like some people might archive their Instagram posts. Like I don't archive anything that's on my blog.
Yeah, I feel like it's fun to have a website. Like I feel like I've seen from bigger creators, blogs are coming back and websites are coming back. Having a monthly newsletter is something I feel like that could be so lucrative and just, you know, creating a lot of potential for more collaborations if you offer to put them in the monthly newsletter, you know, because then you're kind of like sending it out to your audience and you're like, oh, I'm going to send this out in my monthly newsletter of my favorites and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of potential and different like avenues through a blog that you can make money. So I think this just motivated me to revamp my blog.
I mean, I feel like we know this one girl who makes bank off her blog. Oh, and I think she has like 50,000 plus like monthly views.
And that's like the whole SEO thing too. If you factor that into your blog, then you're set because you get a lot of page hits. But yeah, this girl makes a lot of money through it.
Well, and I feel like people who are going on your blog are like actively searching. Like they're looking for something. You're not just like scrolling across the blog and then you're like, oh, look, like you're like Googling like how to land a collaboration and then blog posts pop up. And then, you know, that's where you start reading or travel guides or whatever. So I feel like that's just like a really good opportunity. And then I've seen too, and I've never done this, but people place ads on their blog.
Yeah, I don't know how to do banners. That, but yeah, you can definitely.
I don't know if I like how that looks, but yeah, it's definitely another like revenue option.
Yeah, I wonder if that's like through Google Ads or something. I know you can sell ad space, but yeah, I feel like you've been doing a good job with your blog and being consistent again. But yeah, we definitely recommend, you know, revamping your blog if it's, you know, in the archives for you like it is for me. But I think that's something that is definitely coming back around.
Yeah, I feel like if you don't have one, I think it'd be a good time to kind of start one and just kind of brand yourself. Like, I have this amazing girl who did my first brand set and then my rebrand, and I like love how it looks. She was really cool to work with, and I just like love the aesthetic of my blog, so that's why I feel like I like being on it.
Yeah, it's fun. And so, it's like pretty affordable to find people like that, and you're just supporting, you know,
another small business or another creator. So it's definitely worth it. And it's just like so nice to be able to put everything that you have in one place. So it's like I have like my YouTube channel linked, my small business linked, like our podcast linked, like so many things are all just in this one spot. And so it's like, if Instagram were to go away for, you know, however long, like where would your presence be online and like where could people find you? And, you know, having a website, I think, is really cool. And I think brands are going to really start to tap into that more.
Yeah, Yeah, I definitely see,
especially like
that
with links and ROI and all that's like really important to brands. So definitely hop on that. We both use Squarespace and we love it.
Super easy to build a website on Squarespace, and you can kind of, you know, just build it and then adjust as you go. But it's a very, very user-friendly website. Yeah.
And great for beginners.
Yeah. Like, we had this debate, not debate, but we like talked about this on Clubhouse. Yeah, it was pretty much like a debate. WordPress or Squarespace, and we definitely recommend Squarespace because it's very user friendly.
Like, most people and recommended Squarespace,
or like, you'll buy WordPress and then switch to Squarespace because it's so much easier if you're a beginner.
WordPress is like, if you're like an expert and you want to get very customized in what you're doing and you have experience like with code.
Yeah, I mean, it's so, it is cheaper when you're looking at them side by side. But Squarespace is just a lot more user-friendly and kind of worth it in the end, because WordPress, the price that it is like for the very basics. And then if you want to learn and teach yourself code, that's how you get more customizable. But you really have to put the time in, because I bought WordPress thinking I was going to build out my entire company website on it and thought I was going to like learn code and get into it. But it really takes so much time. So I ended up just, you know, eating that money and then buying Squarespace because it's just so much easier and it saves you time. So I know a lot of people are curious about that, and you'll definitely see different things online. But if you're, you know, not looking to spend a lot of time and effort on your blog, but still make it look very, very nice, we recommend Squarespace.
Yeah, 100%. And I think just having a blog at the end of the day, like, it's that space that you own and that's yours, and, you know, no one can really take that from you. And I think that's the important fact about it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. There's also some discount codes, by the way. We don't have one, but I know some of the podcasts I listen to
for
do, like Morning Toast. Yeah, they definitely have one, but I don't remember what it is. Yeah, hi Squarespace, we would love to work with you. Okay.
Maybe we should pitch them.
Yeah, honestly.
Okay. Okay, so the next way to make money is create a brand. And I feel like we've both done this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have both created our own personal brands. We definitely recommend doing this. I feel like it's usually everyone's next step that they want to do. Just because, like, you know, you create this audience online and if you do it well, like, you create a very engaged community, they do want to support what you're doing next with, you know, your platform. So Alyssa has Summer Buns, which is her trendy hair accessories company.
So mine is a product-based brand. Mm-hmm. So essentially I'm selling a product to generate sales. And then what you do
is service-based.
Service-based,
so I'm doing
her
marketing,
influence
and
strategy.
Social media. Yeah. So it's totally different.
So many different things. Yeah.
So many different things you can do, honestly.
I
feel like a lot of people do it too.
I don't think you have to like have a certain following to start one. Like, I think people think like, oh, when I hit 100K, like, I'll start a brand.
Yeah.
Or, oh, when I reach this benchmark, like, I'll start it. Like, if you have an idea and you see that there's like a space in the industry for it, like, I would say just do it. And I feel like a lot of people started that in quarantine.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my
gosh, started seeing a
so
bunch
many
of like
businesses came up.
Girls starting their small businesses, and I was like, yes, like, you know, obviously our girlfriend Riley started Candles and Clay, and like,
oh,
I
right,
feel like so
yeah.
many people started, I mean, like small boutiques during
it's
quarantine.
Typically, depending on what you do, it's a pretty small investment for what the potential could be. And I just feel like, again, like the blog, that's something that you own and no one can take that away from you. So definitely have that in the back of your head. I feel like as creatives, you probably more than likely have something that you do want to do, or if you like, you know, starting a business on the side is always on our minds, I feel like. So definitely recommend doing that, because that can be a very, you know, lucrative
opportunity. Yeah, it's like, what do you like to do? Like, do you like, like with you, like you are doing a service base. So you love social media. So you're mm-hmm. helping other people with social media mm-hmm. and like, you know, making their social media better. And I'm doing a product base, which means I'm doing sales because I like selling things. And I think it's just really fun to have like my own little brand. And like, it's definitely not a huge thing for me. It's definitely kind of just a hobby on the side. And it's one of those things where mm-hmm. I kind of see like whatever I put into it is what I get out of it. So I definitely have slow months with it. Some months are really good with it. It's very up and down, but at the end of the day, it is extra income. So, I mean, that's what's really cool about it.
Yeah, and a lot can also come out of it too. You also just get like really fun opportunities.
Yeah, and I think like obviously there's us starting a podcast. Right. We're not monetizing it yet, but like, obviously that's kind of the goal, is to grow this platform and audience with you guys who like mm-hmm. to listen, and then be able to monetize, you know, through sponsored ads, like a lot of podcasts do, but they do it with brands that they love and that like are, I guess, relatable to your niche.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you could start a podcast. I don't know how long it takes to start monetizing.
Yeah, well, we're still trying to figure that out.
We're still navigating that part,
but also, but I think it's more important that we're starting the podcast and it's not even with the intent to make money. Like, we genuinely right. love this so much. Like, we were doing it through Clubhouse and then it kind of just like happened with the podcast. But I think it is pretty important. Obviously, with like starting a blog and Instagram, like, you're not going to make money right away. So it does have to be something that you want to put a lot of time and effort into to actually make money from it.
Yeah. And then lastly, just for us, we have like our little event planning company in San Diego called mm-hmm. Bloggers by the Beach. And we host small-ish events for bloggers. And, you know, we generate ticket sales that way, and we can... Uh-huh. you know, use that money to make a really cool event, which is our plan. Yeah. So we really want to plan like a summer. I feel like it'll kind of be like an end of summer.
Yeah, an end of summer event. Bash, maybe. That would be fun. Yeah, yeah. We need to get on that. But
coming soon.
That's like,
so,
that's,
but it's another way to make yeah, money.
And it's something that we actually built together and we all met as bloggers. So creating something with your blogger friends, I feel like can be really great. Just because I feel like, once again, this industry is so creative and a lot of cool things can come out of it. So yeah, I think that's it for that.
Yeah. So I feel like just like closing out creating a brand, there are so mm-hmm. many different things that you can do. So you just have to find what you're passionate about and what makes you happy and what you want to do. And then when you make money doing it, it's just really cool.
Yeah. It's just an added bonus.
Exactly. Like, because it's like you would have already done it regardless.
Yeah, totally.
So
next on the list, we have other social platforms, obviously. So like YouTube, TikTok, Pinterest. Can you make money on Pinterest? I think sponsored?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you can add that to your rate sheet, actually.
I feel like on my rate sheet, I have a pin for like $100, but Pinterest is starting to do brand collabs.
Yeah, definitely. And then building up your other platforms while you're focusing on
people
your main one.
People get paid on TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, TikTok. Paid. YouTube has always been a very, you know, you can make a lot of money on YouTube, but it does take a lot of time to kind of build up your community on there. I feel like it's a lot of consistency and a lot of time to put in with editing and creating the videos in general. So, but I mean, the YouTubers that I used to watch like made so much money, and the YouTubers who are still doing it now make so much money.
But I feel like, yeah, TikTok is very up and coming. Like, people mm-hmm. make a lot of money there. And Pinterest, I've heard of girls like getting like 4 to 5 figure brand collaborations on there. And I don't know if it's Pinterest? The brand side or the Pinterest side. Yeah. I've told you about them. Yeah.
Wow.
Huge. So yeah, I think Pinterest is an up and coming opportunity too. Mm-hmm. So if that's something that you're interested in,
yeah, it's a very like it, you know? Interesting platform. I feel like people are like trying to figure out how to you know, grow their platform on Pinterest, and a lot of people are getting verified. So I feel like this is a good time to focus on that platform because they're verifying a lot of creators. And I think that just like legitimizes you, of course, to brands when they see your Pinterest platform and Pinterest profile.
I feel like 2021 is like all these platforms are focusing on creators.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like creating creator programs or incentives or programs or just things like that are focused around the creator, because I think they're all realizing like creators are what keep people.
Of course, yeah. It makes it more relatable.
Because it's all user-generated content. So you need the creators putting out content so that you have the other people who can consume it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And it saves them money.
To think about.
Yeah. They need a way to keep everyone entertained. So,
and I think we've talked about it before, but like user generated content does a lot better than like curated, perfected brand content.
Yeah.
Like it's more relatable and you'll get more clicks or more saves or more sales or whatever the case. Cause like I definitely buy something when I see someone else wear it and it looks good in them, but I don't buy it when I see it on the model on the website, because that's not how I look. So just another thing to think about with that. And then another way is like Poshmark. I know some people have like it's controversial or people have like certain feelings about it. But for me personally, I just don't think that like it's fair for brands to expect us to keep everything we're gifted from every brand ever or from every collaboration ever. Like there's just not enough space for that.
And I didn't even know it was controversial.
Yeah, like in some of my contracts I've seen, like you're not allowed to resell the product. Yeah, I've signed a couple contracts like that, which I get. But like at the end of the day, like you can't keep everything. Like I didn't really sign a contract, but it was like part of the program with this makeup brand that's very popular. And it says like you can't sell their product, and they send you product monthly, and it's like a lot of product. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with all this product? I'm not going to use it all. You know, so I'm assuming you can do like giveaways or gifted or whatever. They just don't want you like reselling it on Poshmark, I guess. But
yeah,
like at the end of the day too, like we still have to make money, and like especially if brands aren't wanting to pay at our rate, like that's just another way that we can do that, whether it's, you know, posting it on Poshmark and making a couple extra bucks. Like we're not making like that much money on Poshmark, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Poshmark is a really great platform. I need to start posting it's more. It's so
hit or miss, I feel like.
It is. You there's can make a lot of thing, money, though.
Yeah, there's this new thing that I started doing. I told you about. It's with this girl. She started a like resell business for blogger clothes, and I think it's called Detour Shop or Detour Co. And yeah, so you can like just give her as a creator, if you have extra clothes, you give her the clothes and she'll post it on her website, and then she'll do all the work. So she takes 20%, but she does all the work. So she takes the picture, she posts it, she sells it, and then she ships it. So it's like saves you a bunch of time. So instead of you doing it on Poshmark, she does it on her website. Yeah. And I feel like that could be like an extra $100-$300 a month as well. So it's like, you know.
Yeah. And some people even hire legit just Poshmark assistants. Because you can, it's you so can tedious. Really make a lot of money on it, but it is like such tedious work because you do have to individually, like there's no way you can bulk upload these things, so it is tedious. Yeah. But yeah, obviously you can make
and
a lot
like
of
take
money.
Good photos, because I feel like it's important to take good photos when you're posting, because that's when it sells. So Yeah. It's a lot of work, but like, I feel like if, like, sometimes I feel like I go through like good months and bad months. Like, sometimes I'll go through a month where I don't sell anything, and then like, I'll have another month where I'll sell like $300 to $400.
Yeah.
And you're just like, crazy. What the heck? So, but yeah, I mean, that's just another way. And like, again, all of this income adds up. So you're adding your Poshmark, maybe your affiliates, you know, maybe a content creation collab you got, and there's like $1,000 right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So exactly. It's just another way to really make money. And I guess we can just move on to the next one is providing a service. So that could be anything like coaching, offering coaching. I do that on the side sometimes. Courses. I'm so sad. I used to have a course and I don't anymore, but I think I'm gonna, sadly lost all the videos, but I think I'm gonna turn it into like an ebook, because I still have all the documents. Really, so I might do something like that. But you guys let us know, like, do you like courses? Do you like ebooks? Do you like coaching? Like, because those are other ways too, if you feel like you're an expert mm-hmm. in something, to monetize that and help other people kind of get to where you are. Because I remember when I was starting out, I was like, I want a mentor. I want to be mentored by someone who's at a place where I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I want to learn from them, and I want tips and tricks, and I want them to kind of help me get there. And I took that route, and I felt like it was very beneficial, you know, up to a certain point where I was doing it on my own.
Yeah, exactly. It can definitely be very beneficial. And especially if you're already committing to, you know, building your platform on Instagram, you obviously have the knowledge and you're putting in the time to learn more about social media. So you can really help other like local people in your area, friends and family, doing their Instagram and charging for that. I think a lot of people do like freelance social media help. So that's another really great way to make some money on the side.
Yeah, I think that kind of goes along with like what we were talking about with our brands and how you have a mm-hmm. service-based brand is like really like just getting maybe a couple clients a month that mm-hmm. are paying you $500 to $1,000 a month just based on the services that you're providing. And that'll give you like a good base rate that you can expect every month.
And then you don't really have through to stress those if that clients, makes sense. Uh-huh. Through those clients, you get like so many referrals, I feel like, because everyone's just constantly like, oh, like literally one of my clients just gave me her hair salon. Like she's like, my hair salon like really like needs someone to do their social media. I told her about you while she was doing my hair, and like now she wants you to do her website and her social media. And I'm like, oh, like this was so unexpected and random. So,
and it's like, you never know where those are gonna go.
No.
Yeah.
I honestly, I feel like you guys, I have not had one. I did not do any outreach, which is a little bit insane. I swear, like, clients and referrals go such a long way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and just, like, making it known that you're doing that so people have you top of mind, especially if they know anyone. I was thinking
the other day, too. I was going to tell you this. You should have on your website, like a client page. You know what I mean? Like listing your like clients.
I know. I need to start that again. I've just been I've been focusing so much on Instagram lately, but I need to put
that. But that's what's great about this is like you can decide like where you want to put your time and focus.
Exactly.
You know, and 1 month might be really great for one avenue of money, and then another month might be better somewhere else, which is why it's so great to have that, because like say you're having a slow month on Instagram, then you have those other things carrying you, and you don't have to like really stress about it, which is so,
because you don't have a boss like looking over you and forcing you to do it. You know, it's kind of like all on your own time, and I think you work harder and better with that in mind.
Yeah, well, especially since you're like supporting yourself and like
you don't really have
making
a choice.
Money is up to you. You're like you are motivated that way as opposed to like trying to build someone else's business like
that doesn't benefit you in the long run, and you're always replaceable. But
exactly.
We could talk about that forever.
So, and then we're almost done with our list, but the next one's really short. It's just presets. I feel like that used to be so popular.
It used to be a huge thing.
Like, huge, but I feel like I was thinking about it, and I feel like I still see creators doing this.
Well, Nitsan, she's Nitsan Raider. Honestly, I love the presets that she came out with. I feel like
hers presets are really
used
cute.
To be, presets used to be so big, but I think they're gonna come back in it like at a smaller scale with not a smaller
but
scale,
like a
more
like neutral.
Natural.
Yes. Yeah. But I feel like even girls like McCall Mitchell, like very colorful, bright, like they have presets too.
Yeah, but those and that's ones like photographer like really well vibes too. Or not photographer vibes, maybe more like travel blogger vibes. I feel like travel bloggers always have like a pretty colorful preset, but then for bloggers, I think right now, I mean, there's always stages like or phases. I remember when presets were really big when we first started, it was the very like, I don't even know how
to
describe
it. I, like, bought a couple.
Oh,
I
did, too.
I bought a couple because I was like, okay, I need to make my photos look cohesive.
And
they
were, like,
always
so bright. Like, they were super bright.
Yes.
I don't even remember. Like, you just couldn't. You had to, like, base your outfit around your preset. Like, I remember we were talking about this. Like, I couldn't wear green or I don't even I can't remember what the preset was. But I remember I couldn't wear green or anything neon because it wouldn't come out in my preset. Yeah. But now they're a lot more natural and
like you don't really know how to edit at this point. So it's like yeah. you just want to throw a preset on and then be done.
Yeah. So I definitely have one that is just pretty natural, just kind of enhances the photo. And I have kind of adjusted it to enhance my sunsets and make them more pink. But other than that, that's pretty much all I do. But it is a really great form of income. Like you.
Yeah. I mean, feel if like you if you're someone up, where. Like, people are like asking you all the time, like, how do you edit your photos? Like, if you're mm-hmm. getting that DM, that question a lot, then that might be a sign.
You might
like,
as well hey, sell
like,
it.
Maybe sell it. And I feel like people stopped really selling them at like really expensive rates, and they're like yeah, super affordable.
Yeah, I think they're like
now.
What $12 usually for one.
Yeah, like you maybe 30, maybe $50. Yeah, like I remember yeah, when 30, we were 50. Going for like $100+.
Oh my god, yeah, that was like the J.C. Marie Smith phase. I don't know if you yes. like. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
She was selling her presets for so much money. I remember, I think I.
But I feel like, to her credit, she's like an actual photographer and yeah, has like that yeah. experience and whatnot. But like, there are girls who are like not at that level, like just literally using the preset they used on yeah. Lightroom I mean, or whatever, and then like selling yeah. that.
Like, I loved her preset, but and that was truly the norm back then. Like, it was, I think, yes. usually, like, a 4-pack or something for 100, I want to say. And people bought it. Like, it was fine, and it was very helpful and cute. Like, very cute at the time. But, yeah, definitely something to think about.
Yep, just another way to make money, mm-hmm. you know? Okay, and then last one on this list. This one is kind of related to Poshmark, but a little mm-hmm. different. If you like to clean out your closet at a quicker rate, mm-hmm. I feel like, or you don't like things sitting, that yeah. like Buffalo Exchange or Plato's Closet is really great to make some extra cash, just because you don't have to take the time to list everything. You just obviously throw it in a bag and take it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they really like blogger clothes, because I feel like, well, for us, like we keep the tags on our clothes.
Yeah.
So we, I think
I don't
that
know
really,
why it's a bad habit.
I feel like, but it like raises the value when you go to resell something,
yeah, no,
because it
does.
Essentially looks like new with tags, because you've worn it yeah. once for a photo and then
we'll
you're done it
once,
with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think obviously you're not going to get as much as you would on Poshmark, you know, because
yeah.
they so kind of like give you the lower rates because they have like the whole store credit thing or cash. But if you want to make quick cash, you want to clear out your closet, you know, get rid of the piles in your house. I think the other week I took two full trash bags of clothes, and I think I left with a little over like $200.
Yeah,
you know,
I like
and if
this,
you
like,
did something,
you
yes, if you do this like maybe once a month at $200 a month for the year, that's an extra $2,400 in your pocket.
Yeah, and
which
like,
is like
that goes
so
a long
good.
Way. That's like your yeah. money eating out for the month, you know, or you know. Kind of.
That could
like,
be
like
just
rent. Extra money. Yeah.
Towards rent, towards your gas, towards food. Like, yeah.
Uh-huh. I would take your clothes that you don't like mind as much if you're going to get a smaller amount for it
yeah.
to Buffalo. And then obviously, you know, like Revolve or something, I would probably try to sell on Poshmark because people will pay more for that, and Buffalo Exchange like will literally pay you like
I don't think they really know what $2 Revolve is, but
yeah,
I feel like Buffalo really likes or at least the Buffalo we go to really likes the Australian labels,
yeah, like Princess,
you know,
Polly,
I mean?
They love
yep like Verge Girl, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff they really yeah. love, like Shopo, they like always love those brands. So that's just another way like to clear out your house, to keep your closet moving. And I really like the thought of like reselling and being more sustainable that way, because then someone
yeah,
else is going to buy it and it'll find a new closet, you know?
Yeah. And if they don't buy it, you can just give it to them to donate. So that's also a really great option.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not
so
making money
overall,
from that, but like still it's.
But you're trying good. To like clear out anyways. And yeah. obviously donating, it's going to like help someone who isn't as fortunate, you know, have clothes. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's my last resort. Once I go through my Poshmark and my Buffalo, then I'll just put everything in a bag and I will donate it to the local women's shelter, you know, just to, you know, make sure those
yeah.
clothes go to like a loving place where someone
yeah,
will,
of course.
You know, who needs it more than I do. Can mm-hmm. use it as opposed to it just sitting in my closet.
Yeah.
You know? So.
We love Buffalo.
That's a wrap.
Plato's Closet. Yeah. Like we just said. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought this episode was gonna be like 30 minutes. Now it's literally an hour.
Literally thought we were gonna get through it in like 20 minutes and then like have to like stretch it. But I guess we're just learning that we could really talk about anything.
We really can. We love talking about this stuff. And I feel like this episode was honestly very helpful, especially
honestly,
I
hope it gave such you like a some good peace. Topic.
Yeah, because like
or some ideas too on just how to like generate some more income if this is something that like you're really interested in or something you really want to pursue, or like you have to convince your parents that like this is a good plan. You can like write this out and like figure out how much you can make per month on average from each category, and then you know present that total and be like, Mom, Dad, it's gonna be okay. Look, I can make more doing this than I do at my job that I don't like, that I have to go to for 8 hours a day.
You guys, yeah, I literally have already made my 9-to-5 salary from last year, and it was in July when I made it. So, like way over. So, okay, not
like
way
your
over,
month. Like, do you make your monthly or your annual?
No, I already made the annual that I would have made from my 9-to-5 job, which is like insane because I literally hated that job and I sat at a desk doing something that I did. Okay, I didn't hate it. If anyone's listening for my job, I didn't hate it. It was just like not what I wanted to do.
And it wasn't fulfilling.
It was not fulfilling. And I had like, I knew that I had so much more potential with what I could do on social media. And so I just like was not having a good time. And it took so much for me to quit. Honestly, I was so scared. But I hope this like makes anyone a little bit more, I don't know what the word is, like hopeful, or, you know, gives you a little bit more peace with if
there's
you
a light at the end
job.
Of the tunnel.
Yeah, because I just like I cannot even imagine staying at that job and being so scared and knowing what I know now. Like it's just
and like
insane,
being so stressed and like having to like only shoot content on the weekends or like miss like networking or like events or like other ways to be able to grow your brand that you like have the opportunity to do now.
Exactly. There's it. Okay. And also like the biggest thing is there's literally no cap to how much you can make. Like there is so much money out there. And I feel like being in this industry, you really realize that. And you're like, oh my God, it's insane. Some of these marketing jobs specifically, because I think a lot of people do marketing in this industry, like the 9-to-5 marketing jobs just pay so low, and just knowing how much money is actually out there that these companies have to spend. Is crazy. And it's just great to know that there's literally no cap to how much you can make. Like if you hustle, you can make so much money, and just know that.
Yeah, so hopefully this helps like motivate you guys or just help you kind of understand how content creators or people on social media make money, and just knowing that there's multiple streams of income, and most of the time there isn't just one platform that someone's making money on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. I think this is like really cool. It's just honestly inspiring me just looking at this list.
I know. I'm like, wow, I'm going to hustle again.
Got to go make some money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this. And please let us know like in our DMs if there's other topics you want to hear about specifically, or, you know, if you guys have any questions, we're always open to hearing them. And we always want to talk about new topics. So let us know what you guys want to hear.
Yeah, let us know.
Oh, yeah. Always. You can always jump in to our Facebook group, the Influence Community. You can always ask questions there. We have a really great community of girls there just sharing things. And yeah, it's a really fun place to be.
Yes. Agreed.
Join us there.
Yeah, I guess that's it today. Thank you guys so much for listening as always. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.